And what a pleasure it is to be in for Paul W. Smith. It is certainly my honor. I always have fun when I sit in for Paul. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I am Paul. Yes, I'm back, and for at least a few days. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you. Why does it say weekdays focus 2 to 4 on my screen? Has something happened that I don't know about? Is there somebody?
Yeah, did you pack Mike a lunch? Parsons? Did you pack a lunch? No.
Executive producer? I don't. What am I looking at here?
That
I do
is what you call a
Facebook and.
That's what you call a failure of quality control there, Paul. We'll get that fixed.
Okay. Anyway, so Facebook and YouTube pages are live streaming right now, which is what I was looking at and saying, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. So it isn't. So we'll get that fixed. Right after your daily dose of Dietz, I'll talk with Kevin Dietz. And in between, coming up, JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani and the team. Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Rich Luzinski, Jason Fistler in for Rich. And we're going to do our best to give you relentless positive radio. And we start off with a show. We start the show off with a story that, in fact, may sound not so positive, but I'm here to tell you it's very positive. It's a very, very big deal, and it affects our entire family and therefore your WJR family, because as a listener, you are a part of the WJR family. That's what makes this radio station special and so different. I find it out when I travel more than ever. I hear from people that I don't get to hear from when I'm stuck in a studio. But when I'm out and about, like if we were on vacation, we get to talk to people about a lot of things. Be that as it may, as part of the family, you may have already heard either this morning on the morning show or just now in All Talk with Kevin Dietz, and especially right here, about one of our family members who is suffering and going through a lot. And she had a decision to make as a pretty private person, which is not easy as a celebrity, a personality. And if you're like me, the first time you ever saw her, it was doing her work on television. And then she joined me many years ago on the morning show to help out in sports on the radio. And that's when I knew she was really talented, because television is much easier than radio. But if you can do radio, you can do television, and you can do a lot more. And Jamie Edmonds has done a lot more, now as co-host of our JR Morning Show with Chris and Lloyd and Jamie. And you may know by now, and those of you who are watching Facebook and YouTube pages, live streaming right now, and I just looked up and see Jamie for the first time in a long while because I was on vacation, and I don't see her every day because of our shifts. But she has made a very special announcement, and more importantly, a decision that I'm sure was not easy, but she knows is the right decision, because she has announced her fight with cancer. And she could have been very quiet about it, very personal and private with just the family, or she could have included all of us. She has included all of us, because she knows by being in the public eye and coming forward with what she's going through, she's going to help thousands and thousands of other people who are going through the same thing or will be. Jamie, I'm not surprised. I couldn't be more proud of you. And like all of us, I am very sad that you're going through this, but very proud of your strength that you were showing us.
Well, Paul, thank you for having me on the show. And I can hear it in your voice that, I mean, it's just a very scary time, but I have been through some dark moments with all of this. But I got to a point where I wanted to talk about it because I got through the dark time from hearing other people's stories. So if I can help just one person, that they're not alone in this, then there's a purpose to all of this. And I hope that's what's going to happen out of all of this.
There is a purpose. This is the most important thing you've done in a fabulous 20-year-plus career in broadcasting. Because over and above the great job you've always done in television and radio and everything else you've done, you are indeed offering strength to people who could use it, who don't have the platform that you have. And for that, I salute you. Why don't you, for listeners who somehow missed it this morning in the two shows you've already been on, just bring everyone up to date where you are.
Well, 2 months ago, February 10th, I'll never forget it. I got the worst call of my life when the doctors confirmed the biopsy results that it is in fact breast cancer. And that's like something I never even fathomed because I don't have a history of breast cancer in my family, very little cancer in my family overall. So I felt invincible, I guess. And I just thought this was going to be like a cyst and they were just doing their due diligence, but no, it's breast cancer at 42 years old. 6 months after I had a clean mammogram. And so it was very shocking. And, you know, your thoughts race. Like, I have a young daughter. Am I going to be here to watch her grow up? Like, that's obviously what went through my mind initially. And it's like very hard, but there's this army of breast cancer survivors who like find out about you. I had strangers calling and texting me and telling me, you know, their stories of hope. And that's how I got to this point where I feel comfortable talking about it. I'm not even done. I've only done 6 chemotherapy treatments, but I feel like talking about it will help.
It does help. I mean, it helps others. I do hope that it is helping you as well. And I think that's pretty much what you just said, that you feel like or even need to talk about it. And I know you could have gone in the other direction. And no one would blame you for that. Just because you're a high-profile person, public person, you could still have your private moments, and you do and should. But you knew, and now you just explained, in the same way that people reaching out to you, one phone call at a time, one note, text, email, letter at a time, helped you.
Yeah.
So what an excellent opportunity for you with this really big platform to help many, many more people. And I'm here to announce that though we may miss you from time to time on the morning show during your treatments, you are welcome on all of our shows to come on at any time to talk about anything. And I understand that there's even a possible podcast in the works.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking with the bosses at WJR there who've been unbelievable.
Unbelievable people.
Supported me in just any way they can. And I want to talk about my story through the times that I'm going through chemo, through the times that I'm trying to parent a 3-year-old whilst going through this. I want to talk about it. And the idea is a podcast. We haven't like fully formed it yet, but maybe that's how I get my story out there.
Well, you've got to do it in a way that you really call the shots based on how you feel.
Right.
And nobody knows in this treatment how you're going to feel until you feel it. And you don't want to be sitting around going, oh, I can't make it in for the show now. You can't do that. And with a podcast, you won't have to do that, as I understand it. So
yeah, I can do it from home when I feel well enough to do it. I think there are a lot of people in Detroit who would talk about the resources that are out there, people who've been through it, and we can create a little community of people fighting and who have fought, and I think it could be powerful.
I am absolutely certain it already is powerful. Just from your now 3 conversations today on WJR and the future conversations that we will have, I look forward to having, and also from hearing from you, if it's a podcast or however you do it, to reach out. Is there anything else you want to say or make clear to our listeners, to your family, our family on WJR? Because I'm not stretching this out long because it's been a long day already for you, I know. So is there anything else, Jamie Edmonds?
Well, I held it together on the morning show until Chris started reading comments from people. And so since 9 o'clock until now, 12 o'clock, the amount of messages that have come out have been really heartwarming and really just warmed my heart. And I really appreciate everyone praying for me. I think prayer matters and I appreciate it. And I think I'm going to find the other side.
I am certain you're going to find the other side. I am certain that this is going to lead to more prayers. And I am certain that prayers can work and have worked. We've all seen them work. And
thank you, Paul.
You're talking to the wrong guy about holding it together. You don't have to always hold it together. We already know you're strong. And we're going to be strong with you along this road. Just know, as you do now, and probably have for a while, you are not on this road alone. We love you, and we're with you. That's all I can say.
Thank you, Paul. As the leader of the bunch here at WJR, the legend that you are, thanks for talking about my story today. And I appreciate you. You're right. I came on WJR the first time on your show.
And I'm going to say something that I hope doesn't embarrass you, because I find it very heartwarming and cute. You said to me, you know, it's hard to find someone to date when I'm doing what I'm doing. Do you remember that conversation?
Of course I do.
It's hard to find someone to date. And the next thing I know, you're married and have a beautiful little baby.
Well, it happened. You weren't the matchmaker, though.
No. I stand back. I'm not that crazy. No, I stood back. I went, really? I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sure it'll all work out, Jamie. And in fact, it did all work out. And you're living a great love story.
My biggest supporter is downstairs at his home office. So it starts with that. And I just really appreciate everyone and their support so far this morning.
Well, it may start this morning, but it's going to go on forever. So God bless you. And don't ever, ever hesitate to reach out to us any way that you need to or want to. And we're here for you.
Thank you, Paul.
Jamie Edmonds, you know her and love her from The Morning Show. She started with me in The Morning Show many years ago doing sports. Now she's the co-host with Chris and Lloyd of a great JR Mornings. And she has revealed her fight with breast cancer. And she has an army supporting her. And I'm glad that you're joining that army. We continue in Focus on WJR. Well, as we continue in Focus and Relentless Positive Radio on this Monday, April 13th, we welcome Peter Trombor, the chair of political science at Oakland University and international relations expert. As President Trump has announced the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz after the peace talks fail, I got to ask what his best guess is, and that's all it can be right now, I think, unless there's been an announcement I've missed while traveling, that what happens after the two-week ceasefire, and now what with the president and the Pope? This may be a little, this may be asking too much of you, Peter. You're only human.
That's a lot you're putting on my plate here for a Monday afternoon.
I realized it as I said it. I went, oh, Peter, I am sorry. I don't mean to be dumping all over you, but there's a lot going on here.
There is. So let me take a stab at a couple of them. I think what happens 10 days from now when the ceasefire is over, I think, is anybody's guess. My sense of it is the president, President Trump, is trying to find a way out. And I think this announcement of a blockade all of a sudden after the failure of talks is like just the latest thing that he's trying in order to sort of get himself out of the mix, out of this mess that he created, right? Frankly, this is a mess of our own creation. So my hope is that, you know, when the ceasefire officially ends, we don't go right back to bombing. My hunch is that the president will try to find a way to declare victory and just walk off. And so that's the best case scenario from where I sit. I don't know what this blockade is intended to accomplish, except to try to put even more economic pressure on Iran. But I think all Iran has to do is hold on and survive, and that's victory. And I'm not convinced that closing the Strait of Hormuz when it's already closed is really going to create much more of incentive for the Iranians to come back to come back to some kind of compromise with us. So,
you know, one of the things that kept coming to my mind, Peter, while watching this, and I tried to avoid it all while I was on vacation, but it's impossible. But, you know, we former presidents, I don't know if Trump did the same thing. I don't think so back when his first term, but we gave billions of dollars to the Iranians. And I just want to point out, $1 billion in Iran goes a very long way. And we're seeing that with the ability of them to send countless drones and other shoulder armed missiles, heat-seeking, that take down multi-million, billion-dollar jets when the president keeps going on and on about saying they don't have anything left. He's talked himself into his own problems right now, sadly.
I think that is part of the story. You know, the Iranians have shown themselves to be very, very resilient. And this expectation that apparently the president had that the regime would just crumble overnight after the initial attacks on February 28th, that just hasn't come to pass. And you sort of begin to run out of military targets to keep bombing, which I think is why the president then threatened to attack civilian targets. I honestly think he doesn't know what to do next, and that this blockade is just the most recent gambit, you know, sort of seeing if he can get anything to work. I think the Iranians just have to hold on, and they seem right now to be very capable of doing that. And you're right, they still retain the ability to inflict punishment on the United States, certainly on the global economy, and inflict punishment on their Gulf neighbors. So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I fear part of the problem for our president, who has been a great negotiator by people who have been even closer to him and have said, what a great negotiator. I think he's negotiating in a situation he's not used to. He's negotiating with people where they're not money motivated.
Yeah.
And I think that's very difficult for a businessman who's used to negotiating and holding a carrot of money over people's heads when the people don't care because they're nuts and they've got these philosophies and religions and all this other stuff that is far more important to them than any amount of money he could offer or withhold.
I think it was particularly telling when we look at the composition of the American negotiating team that was in Islamabad on Saturday. It was led by the vice president, who has no diplomatic training, has no background in negotiation, has never engaged in any kind of high-stakes environment like this ever. And then the other two top negotiators were the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and his golf and real estate buddy, you know, Stephen Witkoff, who are money guys, you know. And frankly, you know, Witkoff and Kushner were the same two who were sitting at the negotiating table with the Iranians as we were bombing them on February 28th. So it's not hard for me to imagine that the Iranians just calculate that we were not negotiating in good faith. And so why should they make any kind of deal with us on Saturday?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on all of this, Peter Trumbore. I also think it's an especially good time to be the chair of political science at Oakland University and an international relations expert being called upon by us and everybody else who wants your professional opinion. We thank you for sharing it. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, sir. Peter Trumbore, chair of political science at Oakland University, international relations expert, the go-to guy for an opinion on these sorts of things. You may agree, you may disagree, but it's a learned opinion. Speaking of that, we've got some more learned opinions coming your way here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR right around the corner. Our next guest is an executive coach, leadership consultant with more than 25 years of experience in leadership roles in some of the world's most iconic and successful global organizations, Meta, Levi Strauss & Company, Nike, Gap Incorporated. You get an idea of just how involved and how many businesses he is. As executive coach and leadership consultant, I'm happy to say he is a fellow Monroeite, a Monroe native. There are a few of us here at the radio station now. He is a fellow Monroe Catholic Central graduate, now St. Mary's Catholic Central. And he's here to talk about his book, Lessons from the Wall, 15 Things I Learned About Leadership and Life by Doing Really Hard Things. Matthew, welcome to Focus.
Thanks so much, Paul. It's a real honor to be here. I grew up, as you know, in southeastern Michigan, listening to WJR every single morning at the kitchen table. So this feels like a real full circle moment for me.
Well, it's great to have you here. It's great to have you as a Monroe Catholic Central graduate, just a guy from Monroe in general. And to kind of talk a little bit about your life and some of the incredible things you had to do, something that was the equivalence of climbing up Mount Everest. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Paul. So in 2024, I signed up to do the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, which is I took on the what's called the 29029 Everesting Challenge. This is an ultra endurance hiking event in which you attempt to hike the vertical equivalent of Mount Everest, so 29,029 feet, but you do it as a ski run in the summer. You hike 2,000 feet up the mountain, you take the gondola down, and you head right back on up, and you repeat that 15 times.
Yikes.
And you've got 36 hours to get it done.
In this respect, you and I could not be more different. And therefore, I'm here to all ears to learn, because I've often said, you know, I have no urge whatsoever to climb a mountain. I look at the mountain, I go, wow, that's really beautiful. But I don't say, man, I wish I could go to the summit there. I wish, say summiting the mountain? I don't know what they say.
We did this.
Whatever summit. They say.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. Tell me how this makes you a better, stronger person.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, what's unique about this event, the 29029 Everesting Challenge, is you aren't actually climbing Everest. You're not dealing with the death zone, right?
Right.
This is not mountaineering. This is ultra endurance hiking. And so early in my adult life, I ran some marathons, I did some triathlons, and then my wife and I had kids, and my life started to shift to focus on their sports. I was a rec soccer coach, I supported their swim teams, but as we were getting towards having an empty nest, I wanted to kind of get back to doing something really hard myself. And this event just sort of spoke to me. I can't run anymore. My knees are a bit shot as I get a little older. But hiking really slowly up a mountain over and over again, for some reason, crazy reason, really spoke to me. And I really wanted to lean into doing something hard and pay attention to what it taught me about myself.
And I see in looking at this, and I don't have the book yet. I'll get the book.
You have a copy waiting for you here. I brought you a copy, and I signed it.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate you signing it. In Lessons from the Wall, 15 Things I Learned About Leadership and Life by Doing Something Really Hard, you really take what you've gone through and kind of boil it down into practical lessons on leadership, resilience, mindset, grit, goal setting, and personal growth. These are the kinds of things that all of us, even those of us like me who don't climb mountains or even try to pretend like I'm, you know, I don't do the stairs going up and down the, Empire State Building or any. I had every chance when I lived in New York. There are always kinds of competitions, not to mention the runs and all of that. But all of us can benefit from this kind of this expertise and this life experience that many of us will not have.
Yeah, that was my real hope with this, Paul. I mean, as you saw from my bio, you know, I'm an executive coach. So I've spent my whole career studying leadership and coaching leaders and leaders. And what I did not want to do is to write another book that tells other people, you know, here's the five things you need to go do to be a better leader or fix your life. I wanted to do something hard and share some lessons that I learned through this process in the hopes that, you know, maybe there's a lesson in here that someone could apply to their own life. And it doesn't have to be about sports. It could be, you know, if you want to learn to play guitar or learn how to quilt or just do something, you know, beyond what you thought you were capable of doing. And that is kind of the whole point of the book, was that I really wanted to share my experience and what is it like to do something beyond what I thought I was capable of and see what, you know, kind of who was in here when things got difficult.
It's very simple to follow. You are an experienced TEDx speaker, which puts you at a certain level in my mind already. But the for example, in the 15 lessons, one of them, lesson one, there's no medal for mayonnaise on your keyboard.
Yeah.
I love that. Number two, trust your instincts. They're stronger than you think. Declare audacious goals, then set firm intentions. There is power in purpose. Be a doer, not just a consumer. The list goes on. Mm. And I hope that my listeners can see how this book, Lessons from the Wall, 15 Things I Learned About Leadership and Life by Doing Something Really Hard, will do what I'm going to do, which is read this book.
Excellent.
Because I think it's well worth reading, and I do think all of us can take something away from this. And I couldn't be more proud to say you're from Monroe, Michigan, my hometown, that you graduated from my high school many years after I left, probably even after they changed the name.
Yeah.
From Monroe Catholic Central High School to St. Mary's Catholic Central. And that you're doing well with this book, Lessons from the Wall, 15 Things I Learned About Leadership and Life by Doing Really Hard Things. I'm assuming it's available on everywhere.
It is available. Right now, it is available online. You can visit my website, lessonsfromthewall.com. But you can also find it barnesandnoble.com. And it will soon be on Amazon. And then we're looking at it doing an ebook and an audiobook as well. But the best way to find it is to go directly to lessonsfromthewall.com. And there are links to be able to buy that directly.
Lessonsfromthewall.com. And when you do the audiobook, if you're looking for somebody to hire to do the reading, I know a guy.
Now I do too.
From Monroe. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Matthew. Nice talking with you. Nice meeting you.
Thanks so much, Paul W. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
It's our pleasure. Matthew Spence, executive coach, leadership consultant, Monroe native, Monroe Catholic Central graduate, all-around good guy, obviously, and his book now out called Lessons from the Wall, 15 Things I Learned About Leadership and Life by Doing Really Hard Things. Go to lessonsfromthewall.com, and you'll know you'll get it right away. We continue in focus on WJR at 12:44. I just heard earlier these promos, I really mean this when I say, aren't we lucky to have the inside-outside guys, Chuck Bridenstine, Ken Calvary? I mean, we are lucky to have them for you, live and free, on WJR. I mean, they are public service. I don't know about you, but they've helped me a lot with our home, just hearing what they have to say, listening in. Chuck and Ken, the inside-outside guys. Oh, and it was great to hear, too, from Mark and Cheryl, and now with their other company, TrueTechConcreteCoatings.com. Nice to hear them on the air. Yeah, we are just very fortunate. We are fortunate to feature important people who we partner with, who advertise with us and bring you such great opportunities for help in so many ways. I'm just thrilled. I am honored. Speaking of people here to help, Nick Lundberg. Nicky Lundberg is our WJR digital sports reporter, proud graduate of Michigan State University. And we have a lot to talk about, Nickster.
Oh, yeah. It was a weekend full of sports this weekend. The Masters, basketball. We got to cover it all, Paul.
I got to say this, I'm not rubbing this in because you're a Michigan State grad, because I root for Michigan State. I love Tom Izzo. You know the whole deal. But I've been gone, so we haven't had a chance to talk about Michigan and their national championship.
I knew this was going to come up.
Well, how could it not? I mean, it's a big deal. It's good for the state of Michigan. Michigan State's been there, and now Michigan's back after many, many, many years. And I'm thrilled, obviously, having graduated from that school, feeling lucky. So that was a big deal. I was watching that game out to sea. Luckily they were able to channel it in. And boy, when they played Arizona, it looked like they were untouchable. But when they got to UConn, I got very nervous throughout that whole game. But anyway, so there's that. Rory McIlroy winning back-to-back Masters. That was very exciting. I didn't like seeing in my stack of stuff I had to look at when I got back, booing at the Red Wings games.
Yeah, that was, you know, the last 3 years, March and the Red Wings have been synonymous with losing, unfortunately. And this year was no different. Obviously, heading into April, they were in a good spot a couple months ago, but they've just, Dylan Larkin got injured, and then they went on this long losing streak, and the road finally came to an end this weekend, unfortunately, and they're going to need to take a long look at themselves in the mirror, because now they're, I believe, the longest playoff drought in the NHL. And for Hockey Town, for Detroit fans, this is just not acceptable.
They never should have left WJR.
agreed.
We had, what, three, four Stanley Cup? We had at least three Stanley Cups while we had the Red Wings on the air. We used to go in the morning show and broadcast from the Stanley Cup playoff games. But be that as it may, they'll make their own decisions. A quick take on our Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, number one seed heading into the playoffs next weekend. Their first game is on Sunday at 6:30. We'll find out who they played this week where with the play-in games going on in the tournament. But they look like a powerhouse right now. They were without their best player, MVP candidate Cade Cunningham, who was out with a collapsed lung. He didn't play for the last two or so months, and they were still winning games without him. And a lot of people talk about the lack of, you know, star power on the rest of the team, but they managed just fine at the end of the stretch without him. And they got him back for the last week, got to ramp him up a little bit. So everybody should be rocking and rolling for next Sunday at Little Caesars Arena.
Is that next Sunday, number one seed Pistons, 60-22, playing game one, April 19th, the second day of the playoffs.
Yep, and like I said, we'll find out exactly who they play, but they've been rolling to end the season. And, you know, the rest of the NBA playoffs are going to be interesting because, you know, the Pistons are, every time you get a 1-8 seed, it's kind of expected that they go on to the next round, which assumably, if everything plays out the way the numbers have played out in the regular season, that matchup will be against the Cleveland Cavaliers, which will definitely be some very, very interesting playoff basketball.
I'm hoping the Pistons can deliver on April 19th a birthday present to my daughter, Sophie, who I met you through Sophie and April and Dominic Lucido. April 19th is her birthday. My birthday is the day before. She was born. My birthday, April 18th. She was born the day after I turned 50. And this April 19th, she will be 23. And of course, I'll still be 50.
We're getting up there, Paul, too. 23. Happy birthday, Sophie.
Do you see how I slipped that right in there, that I'd still be 50, and he went along with it? That's why I love this kid. This is why I love Nick Lundberg, and he has such a bright future at this radio station, and we're all lucky for that. Thank you, Nikki. We continue hour number two in Focus. Coming up, lots to talk about on WJR. Well, here we go. We are back and happy to be back and on the air. Paul W. Smith in for Paul W. Smith, which I'm thrilled to be here. And I did not plan this particularly well, and I've already fixed it for next year because I'm only here for 4 days and I'm going to go celebrate Sophie's birthday with her, but I'll be back next week. But anyway, we had a cruise, Kim and I, just the two of us. We look forward to the next cruise with the station, the WJR Travel Club. I believe we only have 2 days left. If you want to join us on the Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain trip, I would suggest going to the WJR Travel Club website. I think that's still up and still has Paul W. and Kim's dream vacation. But we only have two more days of being able to hold rooms. Italy, France, Monaco, and Spain, I would call Cruise and Tour at 800-383-3131. That's what I think Doug Johnson told us till the 14th of April. I don't know if you remember, Mike. But anyway, 1-800-383-3131. And we had a wonderful cruise, and we think cruising is the best way to go for vacations. Meanwhile, next year I've already fixed this so that when we take our trip together for just Kim and me, we will end up in New York and be able to visit with Sophie around her birthday. So as it works out this year, we're actually there for her birthday, but that's a long story. Anyway, it was a great trip, but it's always, and I know you know this about me, and maybe it's true about you, it's just great to be back home, and it's great to be back on the air, because I love being with everybody this way on the air.
Yeah, and all of our fill-in hosts were great. They did a great job. We had a good time, but it's good to get back to normal.
Yeah, I thank all of them for helping out along the way. We're here with our Relentless Positive Radio with the team, Mike Parsons, as you hear, Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, Rich Luzinski off a little bit with Jason Fistler doing a fine job. He steps in, nobody misses a beat, does a very, very nice job. You can stream us, you can podcast us. If you missed the show, come back at WJR.com, or always make sure you have the free WJR app. And, of course, Facebook and YouTube pages are live streaming right now. And I'm working on, with help from Sophie, speaking of Sophie, on my Paul W. Smithsta. We're kind of tweaking my See, I got a little smirk on your face there when I said that, because you apparently, you young people, he said, get off my lawn. You young people apparently know that I'm not posting on Paul W. Smitsta the stuff I'm supposed to post. I don't know. I didn't know.
No, I think all your posts are fine. I just like the way that you spell it out, because that's how it is. Paul W. Smitsta. And also, Paul, I got to get you to learn how to do Facebook, because your Facebook posts, as the kids say, blow up when you post.
Yeah, but I don't even know how to post. If I post on Facebook, it's by accident or it's through the Paul W. Smitsta.
Right. So whoever set up your Paul W. Smitsta also set it up so that you can post on your Facebook at the same time. So
I didn't even know that. I had no idea. All right. So, Facebook, unfortunately, my experience with Facebook, when I've seen it, there are a lot of trolls.
Yeah.
I've learned that's what they're called. There's a lot of people filled with hate. And I feel sorry for them, but I have no interest in them.
And you're right. They are much nicer on Instagram than on Facebook for some reason. I don't know why.
It seems to be that way for me, my way of thinking. Believe me, I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form with any of this stuff. But when I see the hate on Facebook, and I just say, why? What? How miserable someone's life must be if they spend time in that social media platform criticizing, putting people down, saying terrible things, that indicates to me they have a miserable life. And I want to respond. And Kim says, don't you dare respond.
Right. I used to respond and get into back and forths on Facebook. And then you know what happens, Paul? Then you waste your whole day dealing with these folks. And if you just ignore them, you just go on and you enjoy your life.
I'm ignoring them, and I don't read them on purpose.
You know,
it's just sometimes they pop up. What was that?
Sometimes Ryan Ormani responds because he knows when he's right and they are wrong. So
yeah,
he'll just give them a little
it
bit.
It doesn't matter. To those people who are complaining or saying that they're right and he's wrong, you're not going to convince them. By the way, where's Waldo? Where is Danielle? Did something happen while I was on vacation? Did we not pay the rent on that third box where Danielle usually is?
We unplugged the camera.
Well, why would you do that?
Let's see.
Why not? I promote the fact that we're on Facebook and YouTube pages live streaming right now.
I can plug it back in.
That's the best I can do.
Oh, come on. Come on, Danielle. Now's not the time to be shy.
There we go.
Oh, my God. There she is. All right. Well, there she is. She's fine. All right. So let's see. The things that we missed. 21 hours of nonstop talking and no luck with Iran. Rescuing our pilot behind enemy lines. People have no idea how important that is. They have no idea how important that is. Not just because we say we don't leave anyone behind, but because the war would have changed tremendously had they had one of our soldiers captive. They would be calling the shots right now. They would be threatening or torturing that person, that man. They could be dragging him through the street. Those of us who've been around a while remember the enemy doing this stuff. They're nothing like us. Though those people who think we're the bad guys, we are not the bad guys compared to the Iranians. How is it you can't remember that every president, Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and many others, Hillary Clinton, all talked about how bad Iran was in their time. Even Biden, when he was awake. They talked about how bad Iran was and how we had to stop them. And now a president's doing it. And because they hate him so much, they're not giving any credit. Now, he brings a lot of this scorn on himself. He went against a Gold Star family. I was screaming at the screens when he was doing that. That was so stupid and so wrong. And now he's going after the Pope. That is so stupid and so wrong.
And that AI picture is very bizarre that he posted.
Why would he put the next thing, you know, on Easter, he's going to be rising from the dead. That's just stupid. Mr. President, there's a reason even your children don't show up with you very much anymore. And the smartest one, Ivanka. My God. All right. I don't want to go off like this. I don't want to.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, Paul.
Hmm.
It seemed like a lot was going on while you were gone. But if you think about it, we're kind of in the same place with a lot of things as we were before you left for your cruise, right? We still don't know what's going on with Iran. The government is still, quote-unquote, shut down. But we have been around the moon, so I guess there's been some progress made.
I just circled that. It's funny you said it just at that moment. The Artemis II astronauts safely back on Earth after that historic trip around the moon. I missed that. And that was, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I can't believe, I was around the first time anybody went to the moon 50 years ago. I know that some of our listeners were not. Some of our team was not. All of our, none of our team was around.
I was gonna say, I don't think years ago. I wasn't around. I don't think Danielle was around
I'm
either.
I'm certain she wasn't around. Okay, so anyway, 50
Good
years
to have
ago,
you back, Paul.
Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how much how great it feels to be back. Rory McIlroy made Ireland proud again with his second straight Masters championship. I don't get this. You sent me this story, and I don't get it. Missing Michigan woman's husband fell off a police boat.
Oh, he
in
fell
the Bahamas?
Off. The, he fell that's, off the police boat.
That's what this says. This wow. Kid, I mean, she fell off the boat. That's
right.
But this one says, missing Michigan woman's husband fell off police boat in the Bahamas. Lawyer says that can't be right.
Maybe he's trying. Yeah, you're right. I think it had a different headline when I put it down, but but yeah,
it changed on my paper.
Ooh. That's pretty nuts. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to like put some kind of like malpractice case out there or something. I don't know.
I don't know. And Detroit Red Wings down as could be as playoff drought hits 10 years. We the booing and all that terrible. U of M championship celebrated with a parade, a rally at Chrysler Center, and the Detroit WNBA team has been okayed to start play in. Wow. 2029, why does it take this stuff so long? They use the same basketball court that's there, sitting there.
I don't know. I think they're building a facility, so that could be it.
Really? Right off the bat?
Yeah.
I would play a few games in regular places that
are
already built and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Exactly. See how it goes. All right. Well, anyway, we're underway. And things are as they should be. Marie Osborne coming up in just a moment, and she's got a nice little addition to the Jamie Edmonds story that she'll share with us. But she's got some other things she's talking about, too. What people thought was a Marine City shooting turned out to be swatting, which is where you call the police and act like someone's got some shooting going on at a house or whatever. It's so dangerous that these kids that are doing it need to see jail time. They need to learn a lesson. And more importantly, they need to teach other kids not to do it by seeing the punishment that's out there. Anyway, all right, that's it. We're underway. It's Focus Hour number 2. Paul W. Smith in for Paul W. Smith on WJR. You maybe heard on the JR Morning or All Talk or even here, Focus, a little while ago, the start of our show. We talked about what our colleague, our friend, family member, Jamie Edmonds, co-host of JR Mornings with Chris and Lloyd and Jamie, is going through. She made the public announcement that she is facing breast cancer. And she is a private person, but decided that she understood how she was helped by other people talking about their problems, their issues. And she felt maybe she could help people by talking about it rather than staying secretive or private about it. And I salute her for that. And I salute my colleague, Marie Osborne. She is our friend and long time, years and years and years here at the radio station, and WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, for coming up with this idea right away that she has put forward. And I'm just, it's embarrassing her, I'm sure, but I want to say thank you for thinking of this, Marie, and I think it's a wonderful idea. Marie has collected a number of pink ribbon pins for the radio station family to wear to show our support for Jamie, because we are all supporting her. And though it may be thought of as a small gesture in the big picture, it shows that we stand behind her 100%. So I want to thank you, Marie, for coming up with that idea. I'm not surprised. That's the kind of person you are.
Oh, it is not me here. I just wanted Jamie, every time she looked at us, to see that we were silently standing right there alongside her. It's like I see it like a pink line, right? We hear about the blue line and all of that. This is the pink line. So
good.
We're there for her.
Well, I'm all in on that. And thank you for even bringing it up and getting the pins. And I can't wait to get mine. Meanwhile, you're here to talk about just a ridiculous, terrible thing that is known as swatting. Swatting is the act of making a prank call to law enforcement to prompt a response at an address that they report. The goal is to get authorities, particularly a SWAT team, to show up. And Michael Bouchard has talked to us about this before, and I agree with him. You must come down hard on people that do this, because the danger people are putting other people in by doing this kind of a prank call is insurmountable. The people rushing to come and rescue the people who are not really being fired upon, all the things that could go wrong. This is not just a silly little high school prank. This is a major crime. All right, I got that off my chest. Talk to us about Marine City.
So this happened yesterday in Marine City, yesterday afternoon. The Michigan St. Clair County officials were investigating this possible swatting call, claiming that a shooter was holding hostages and was giving various demands. The director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for St. Clair County is Justin Westmiller, and here's what he had to say.
A caller who said that he had a weapon, he was holed up inside of a building, and that he had taken hostages. And then in a later phone call, he stated that he shot one of those hostages.
Yeah, well, none of it was true. Police believe this entire thing was swatting. A full investigation is underway to figure out who put this call in. And as you said, Paul, this had dozens of law enforcement personnel that had to respond, take time to respond to this. And hundreds of people were placed on lockdown in Marine City for hours yesterday. So there's that, too.
You're right. There's that, and that's why the punishment should be incredibly severe. Because, A, you take these personnel away from other real problems.
Oh, yes.
But, B, while they're rushing to get there to help, things go wrong. Accidents happen. All kinds of things can happen. Plus, you just talked about all the people, just regular people who were locked down. The whole thing is just bad. I don't know where it began or how. It's not funny in any way, shape, or form.
No, it just, well, you know what it is? It causes chaos. And people, you know, people apparently love chaos. It's exemplified in everything we see on social media these days and elsewhere. So I think that they just want to have that power, that control of causing this chaos.
Well, they should learn about chaos by sitting their ass down in jail for a while. That's what they should learn. They should learn what real chaos is and the ramifications of such foolish activity. Period.
Yep, indeed.
I couldn't be angrier. All right.
Indeed.
The mayor is partnering with Teen Takeover, a teen takeover group. What's that all about?
Yeah, so very quickly, Mayor Mary Sheffield has announced this new youth advisory committee. It's going to be aimed at creating safer spaces for young people. We've heard about these mass gatherings called teen takeovers. Kids send out messages on social media, and then they all gather in a pre-designated area. And that also, again, causes a lot of chaos. So she wants these individuals who are going to be on this committee between the ages of 16 and 26. They want real and honest conversations, and she says they want to expand midnight basketball, extend rec center hours, and offer free DDOT buses for students so that they can occupy themselves with something interesting and fun instead of causing any of these problems with these teen takeovers.
I've been out, you know, so traveling and such, and I tried to stay away from news. She seems to be doing a great job. The mayor?
Yeah, she's come up with some really great ideas. But as you know, ideas are great until, you know, when you try to implement them, that's where the devil's always in the details. But she's had, this is another good one. And I do hope it succeeds.
We wish her well in any way we can help her along the way. I hope she knows that we will. All right.
Indeed.
Anything else, Riri?
No, that's about it.
Oh, by the way, in my column today in the Detroit News, you find out where I first used the name Riri was from my dear friend Marie Merman Lyon.
Merman, who yes.
Lived next door to us growing up on Tremont Street in Monroe. And I used to refer to her as Riri. And you were the only other person I ever have called Riri.
And I love it. And it's actually a pet name in my family, too. People call me Riri and Riri.
Oh, yes. Good. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Right.
So I love it. You're among the few that are able to call me that.
Okay. I feel honored. And thank you for the pink pins on behalf of Jamie and all breast cancer fighters I guess is the best way to put that. Thanks, yep. Marie.
Thank you.
Marie Osborne, WJR, Director of Community Affairs and News at 129 on WJR. Well, it was exciting to, 50 years later, watch the next attempt at going toward the moon, and in fact going further, going around the other side of the moon, a place no one has ever been. Well, no human has ever been that we're aware of. And we all got to see some pictures that no one has ever seen. It must have been very exciting for Michael Narlock. He is the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy. And Artemis II has returned to Earth safely. And we're going to take a look at that and maybe what's next for our space exploration. Michael, I had to be, for a guy in your line of work, a very exciting time.
Oh, it's just a great time to be alive, isn't it? I mean, we haven't been to the moon in 50 years. We've sort of abandoned the moon in favor of low Earth orbit space stations. But I think humanity is getting ready to take a larger step into our solar system, and the moon is that next step.
And what is the, I know there's an Artemis 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8, and I don't know how far the numbers go. What is the very next step now?
So Artemis 3, which will launch in 2027, is very similar to Apollo 9 from the late 60s. This is going to be a rehearsal of docking the spacecraft with the landing part of the spacecraft, which is actually being made by third-party companies. It'll also be a test for the extravehicular suits that you could use in a spacewalk, or obviously they'll use them landing on the moon and walking around. So this is going to be a dress rehearsal of all the key components. It won't go to the moon like Artemis 2 did. That will be reserved for Artemis 4, which is supposed to launch in 2028, and that will see human beings once again on the surface of the moon.
Very exciting, for sure. And since you're a student of all of this and a professor of all of this for the rest of us, as the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy, it occurs to me that you mentioned their suits, testing out their suits. And when it comes to 2028, Artemis 4, that they, I guess, actually touch down on the moon, 2028, is that what you said?
Yeah, they'll touch down in the South Polar region.
So the question would be, in the 50 years since that happened, and I happen to be around for that, and working in broadcasting, in fact, how different are the suits going to be? What have we learned that we will incorporate into the new spacesuits, for example?
Well, I mean, largely the function of the suits remains the same. Keep the human being safe and comfortable away from radiation and vacuum. Certainly the articulation of the joints looks somewhat different than the old-time spacesuits, which were largely made out of fabric. I know there have been suits that have been designed in the time since Apollo that almost look like armor. They were articulated and had metal sheathing on the outside. The goal is all the same, regardless of what it looks like. Even when we talk about Artemis and the Orion spacecraft, they look a little bit different than the pictures from Apollo. And that's just because technology has improved. But the form and function of what they do, getting us from point A to point B, keeping us safe while we're on the lunar surface and then safely on the way back, it's all the same thing. It's very eerie, actually, to look at Artemis, and you could almost compare it point by point to what we did in Apollo. Now, there are some steps we skip because we know more things now than we did back in the 60s, but this is, I was telling my kids just the other day, you know, pay attention to this. I wasn't around when we landed on the moon, but in their lifetime, in our lifetimes, we could see a lunar baby, you know, once we start to colonize and put a permanent settlement on the moon. It's the stuff of science fiction.
It really is. You know, and back then, 50 years ago, it was NASA's show. It was NASA, NASA, NASA. Now, there were obviously... Norman Thickall, or I can't think of the names. There were some brands. There were some names out there. But it was NASA's show all the way. We never doubted that. Was this NASA's show all the way this time for Artemis?
For some of it, but certainly SpaceX and Blue Origins, they're contributing some of the human landing systems. There's definitely been more third-party companies. But as you said, you know, North American, Morton Thiokol.
That's it, Morton Thiokol. Yeah.
They all play a role because, you know, NASA as an agency provides engineering and provides support and provides the astronauts. But the actual building of the things are routinely outsourced. These are now outsourced to probably more prominent companies like SpaceX and Blue Origins, who have, you know, key figures in leadership that, you know, whose names everybody knows. So it's a little bit of a different flavor this time, but still they're relying on the infrastructure in the United States and I want to say in Canada too, but I'm not 100% certain on that. I know we had in Artemis II a Canadian astronaut on board, but this is largely a North American adventure.
Michael Narlock is here, the Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy, and we're talking and celebrating Artemis II, its safe return to Earth with our four astronauts, and already taking a look at Artemis III and Artemis IV and all the different things that are ahead of us. It's great timing because there was a time when people started taking this stuff for granted and not even paying attention. Challenger changed a lot of that. We realized just how dangerous this business can be. And I think people still believe it. And there seems to be a renewed interest in this this challenge of going to the moon and then setting up shop on the moon to get ready to go to Mars. It's pretty exciting.
Very.
Thanks for your expertise. We'll talk again soon, Michael. Appreciate you very much.
Looking forward to it.
Michael Narlock, Cranbrook Institute's head of astronomy. And they always have something interesting going on over there at Cranbrook and all the different things they can share with us. Are always well worth it and exciting. We're very lucky to have them around. As we continue in Focus on WJR. You know, I was thinking about this a lot while on vacation, although I'm not supposed to think about, you know, these things. I'm a human being like you're a human being, at least as far as I know. Most of our listeners are human beings, but we do lead the market in non-human listening. So I just wanted to point that out. I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just saying it because no one else has said it yet. But I have to tell you, I have thought about my mortality and what I'm going to try to leave behind for my family one day in, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And one thing I was thinking about is how I need to get in touch with estate planning legal services. Because I've learned enough about them now in their 25 years of serving Metro Detroit families that these are the guys I can trust and put my future and my family's future in their hands. Because I do know this from a family of lawyers and all of that. Probate is bad. That's a simple statement, a factual statement. Probate is bad. It's slow. It's expensive. It's completely public. The good news is, you can avoid probate entirely with a revocable living trust. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. What the heck does that mean? Well, I can tell you that a revocable living trust keeps you in control of the who, the what, and the when. Who receives your assets, what assets they receive, and when they receive them. And when your assets are properly owned by or payable to the trust, you bypass probate and protect your family from the delays and costs that come with probate. So, okay, Paul, now that we know that, what now? Well, I wasn't going to bring this up without giving you an answer, and a very good one. Estate Planning Legal Services. Estate Planning Legal Services. At EPLSPC, their attorneys walk you through every step. They will help retitle your assets at no charge. They will help you retitle your assets at no charge. That's not no small feat. And if you need any changes in the future, once you're a member and working with them, if you need any changes in the future, they're free for life. Again, with more than 25 years serving Metro Detroit families, they know how to make the process clear, affordable, and stress-free. You hear about these things, but you never know how to do it or go about it. Now I'm telling you, get the peace of mind you deserve. Contact Estate Planning Legal Services today for your free consultation. Learn how a revocable living trust can work for you. Call them at 248-435-0400. That's 248-435-0400. Or go to EPLSPC.com. That stands for Estate Planning Legal Services PC.com. EPLSPC.com. Or call them at 248-435-0400. 248-435-0400. Do what I'm going to do. Contact Estate Planning Legal Services today for your free consultation. We continue in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Oh, that's got you going, huh? That's nice. I hadn't heard that rejoiner, we call them rejoiner, the music that takes us from one area to the next in programming. Shout out to David Jersak, president of Grand Hotel. He's done such a great job. You know, we were all nervous when the Musters sold Grand Hotel, but I have to tell you, David Jersak and his entire team have done a tremendous job in just spending money in the right way and making the Grand Hotel even grander. And they even have now a store, distinctly grand, with and I sadly printed the release I got online, but it doesn't print out their website. I'm assuming it's just grandhotel.com, but Mike will find out. Grandhotel.com or distinctly grand.
Yes, shop.grandhotel.com.
Shop.grandhotel.com.
Yes.
Okay. Because they've got some wonderful things for America's 250th anniversary with Grand Hotel. So, I mean, there's some cool stuff. So way to go, David Jersak. He's just lots of great ideas along the way. Here's a little story that I don't know if you guys had this, but I, you know, all the stuff I see along the way. Do you know that one of the first faces the Artemis II crew saw when they returned to Earth was the face of a United States Navy sailor from Michigan?
Really?
Yeah. Hospital Corpsman First Class Steve Capella from Alpena, a member of the dive medical team that opened the Orion capsule upon its return to Earth, making the initial medical assessments of the Artemis II crew and assisting them out of the capsule safely.
And then I believe one of the astronauts was from the west side of the state, I think, right?
I don't remember, but probably.
Grand Rapids, I'm being told, by Grand Rapids native Beth Ann.
Okay, Beth Ann, thank you for standing up for your Grand Rapids. So we had a nice Michigan touch there, both in terms of the crew and the rescue people greeting them upon their arrival back home. That's cool.
Michigan got us to the moon. And then I saw on TV today they were showing the I'm sure that the astronauts posted this, but they had a video of their dogs greeting them for the first time since coming back on Earth.
Oh, that's funny. And, you know, the astronauts could have been gone a day or
right.
2 weeks, and
right.
the dogs would welcome them. You know, you go out to get the newspaper, you come back in, and the dog
right.
is like, where have you been? Oh, my God, it's good to see you.
I thought I'd never see you again. Well, you know,
oh,
it's seven times
funny.
Longer. You know, dog years are 7 years to
right.
a year. So a minute to a dog is 7 minutes.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Good point. Here's a quick note here. Coming up May 1st and the 2nd. The U.S. Air Force Band of Mid-America is coming to our area, according to Maria Stoker Ballinger of Marquee Media PR. Let me just see what it is. May 1st, Boundless Horizon, celebrating Freedom 250 with a free 90-minute family-friendly concert featuring the 50-member concert band. Enjoy patriotic favorites, inspiring stories of our nation's heritage, original works, and Broadway classics. How about that? The United States Air Force Band of Mid-America.
Wow.
I didn't know there was a different one, but that's what they're promoting. So Friday, May 1st at Lincoln Consolidated School District Performing Arts Center in Ypsilanti. May 2nd, Macomb Center for the Performing Arts in Clinton Township. May 3rd. Eastern High School Performing Arts Center in Lansing. May 4th, Penfield Performing Arts Center, Battle Creek, May 5th, Midland Center for the Arts in Midland, and Thursday, May 7th, Skyline High School Theater in Ann Arbor.
Wow, a little tour.
Yeah, the award-winning United States Air Force Band of Mid-America announcing their Boundless Horizons Michigan concerts May 1st through the 7th, celebrating Freedom 250. Okay, I'm glad I was able to get that in there. When I saw that, I thought, oh, am I going to be back yet? And I am. So I'm able to promote that. My column today in the Detroit News, I hope you look for it every Monday. Why do we avoid talking politics with friends? And that came up from my friend Marie Merman Lyon, Riri Merman, saying that she noticed when she was out and about in large groups of people, people weren't talking about the Iran war.
And Paul,
and
you know,
found that to be unusual.
Yeah, I read it because it was on the front page of debtnews.com. And you know what my takeaway was? That you had the chance to see the Beatles and you turned them down?
Oh, for God's sakes. I'm sure that's what everyone remembers and takes away. I was 10 years old.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I don't know why they took that out of the column today, but I said that last Monday. I was 10 years old, and Marie Merman and Shelley Woodward had to be about 10 also, and their parents said, we're going to take you to Detroit. Now, you understand, in Monroe, you either went south to Toledo, the big city,
right,
or north to Detroit, the bigger city.
Right.
And they said, we're going to Detroit to see a band called the Beatles. You want to go? I went, no, I don't.
I'll never
I'm
make
sorry.
It.
I mean, who? The Beatles? What, are you named after bugs? What, are you kidding me? So I didn't go, and yes, I regret that. That and selling my Apple stock in 1985. So those are my two big regrets in life. My biggest regret would be not getting to Ryan Ermanni right now to say JR Afternoon with Ryan is coming up after we all stand by for news. Ryan, you ready?
Paul, I cannot tell you how great it is to hear your voice. It is so great. We need Paul W. Smith on these airwaves with us every day, but we also need you to have your vacation time as well, my
well,
friend.
Well, I have to tell you, I didn't plan this properly. I'm only back for like 4 days. Then I'm going to celebrate Sophie's birthday with her. I was born April 18th, and the day after I turned 50, Sophie was born April 19th. She'll be 23 this April 19th, and of course, I'll still be 50. And I wanted to celebrate with her. Gotta go! Regards, Paul W. Smith.